Hare Krishna. So once again, welcome everyone and thank you for joining us this Saturday evening. I know today is July 4th and many people may have different plans to have some fun time in the evening. But considering the current situation of COVID-19, most of people are still trying to stay home, not trying to go different places. So thank you for joining us. And today is, in one sense, very sad day also because of departure of His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj from this material world. But we know even though Maharaj has disappeared from in between of us, but He is still present among all of us through His melodious kirtans, through His talks. And He will be always remembered for His wonderful work of a television serial on the life of Srila Prabhupada, Abhay Charan. And we can continue to progress in spiritual life, thinking, remembering the instructions of all these great senior devotees, saintly people. As it is said, a Vaishnava never dies, he continued to live through His words. So His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj will continue to live and guide all the devotees. And today is also Guru Purnima, which is a celebration of respecting one's Guru, to paying our gratitude to our spiritual masters, to all the senior Vaishnavas, great devotees who have inspired us to progress in spiritual life. Also, today is disappearance day of Srila Sanatan Goswami. So Srila Sanatan Goswami, he is a very prominent figure in our Sampradaya, in Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. He is one of the primary followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. So Sri Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami. So Sanatan Goswami, he spent a lot of his time in Vrindavan. And during his last days also, he will reside in Vrindavan and continue with his Govardhan Parikarma. He was so dear to all the devotees, all the Brajavasis. He will go village to village. And all the devotees, they were so attracted to Sri Sanatan Goswami. And Sanatan Goswami had a very friendly attitude towards all these people. He will ask for everybody's welfare, behave them with very meek and humility. So all the Brajabasis, they were so fond of Sri Sanatan Goswami. And when Sri Sanatan Goswami disappeared from this world, all these people, all the Brajavasis were so mortified, and till to date, actually to this date of Sri Sanatan Goswami's disappearance day, all the Brajavasis, they go for Govardhan Parikarma. They perform Govardhan Parikarma in remembrance of Sri Sanatan Goswami. And Sanatan Goswami, we celebrate his life, we celebrate his work, we remember him for many of his wonderful activities and achievements. So Vaishnava, even though he disappears from this material world, but he still continue to live through his instructions. And by following in the footstep of all these great saintly people, we can try to improve our spiritual life, make further progress in spiritual life. Because we are in this wonderful movement of Srila Prabhupada, the ISKCON society. And everybody in this movement has a responsibility to continue to carry on this movement, to expand this movement, bring more and more souls connecting to Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. So we all have responsibility to expand this movement, to continue on with this mission of Srila Prabhupada. And we can do that only if we make our spiritual life more active. We improve our spiritual progress, then only we can guide others, but then only we can help others. as Prabhupada used to say, purity is the force. So we need to bring in that purity in ourselves, and then we can make any transformation, any change in somebody else's heart. So our today's topic is on the same theme, to uproot the weeds from the garden of bhakti creeper. How we can avoid this weed to grow in our devotional life. How we can protect ourselves from this weed which is coming from the offenses created while we are performing this devotional service. So we'll pay our homage to Guru Parampara. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanyeshwaram Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavedanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurakshe Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripasindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Okay, so today we are going to talk about how we can bring some energy, some life to our devotional practice, how we can make progress in spiritual life. So as in this material world, we know everybody is suffering. Everybody is searching for happiness and everybody is suffering for some or other misery. We have been wandering through all these various species of life. 8.4 million species of life, 84 lakh joniya. And this human birth is a very rare opportunity. So everybody in this material world is wandering through all these species of life, suffering the various reactions. This body which we have got, this is also actually the reason of our prarabdha. Our karmic reaction. So everybody gets a different sort of bodily conditions, a different form of life, different conditions of life. This is our prarabdha. And having this material body, there are so many different type of suffering. There is a bodily suffering, there is a mental suffering, emotional suffering. This body brings in many different variety of problems. Somebody has a knee problem, shoulder problem, back problem, headache. All these various bodily problems, old age comes, which brings in many further complications. Even if somebody does not have any bodily discomfort, then somebody may have any mental discomfort, emotional problem. Somebody is suffering because of so much of anxiety and all these anarthas in the heart. Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mad, matsarya. These are also leading to various sort of sufferings, mental anxieties, mental problems. So everybody in this life is going through some suffering. Some people come to that realization sooner or later, and somebody still continue in this ignorance that we are not suffering, we are actually enjoying. Actually, that enjoyment, if somebody is feeling that they are having some happiness in this world, some enjoyment in this world, that is also very temporary, very flickering. Nobody can say, I am enjoying always. I am always happy. So all these sufferings are there in this material world. And somehow having obtained this human form of life, we have this opportunity to cut down all these sufferings by engaging in spiritual life. Tattva jigyasa. As the Vedanta Sutra starts with Atatoh Brahma Jigyasa. Now therefore you should inquire. You have got the human form of life, so you should inquire. Inquire about what? Inquire about who am I? What is all this material world? What is my role in this world? Why there are so many sufferings in this world? How can I come out of this suffering situation? Why the sufferings are imposed upon me even though without my wish, without my desire? How I can come out of this? Who is controlling all this material world? What is my relationship with him? So all these inquiries one should ask. But in this life, after getting human form of life also, if one continues with his same animalistic propensities, then it is a waste of human form of life. As the Padma Purana describes, how ignorance leads to all the problems. Ignorance leads to the sinful propensities. Because of the sinful propensities, we get the sinful desires. And because of sinful desires, one end up committing the sinful action. And that sinful action results into sinful reaction. All this suffering. So what is the process which will ultimately clean up this karma bandhan? All this sinful reaction which one is facing. How can all that be eradicated? How that process, what is that process which will clean up all that? Ultimately, the ignorance is the root cause, because of which comes this tendency to commit sinful activities. The scriptures define that all the process of yajna, dana, tapa, it can clean up the sinful reaction. It can remove the sufferings from one's life. But it can still not remove the proclivity, the tendencies of committing the sinful activity, the kutam. So yajna, dana, tapa, it can remove the prarabdha, but it cannot remove the kutam, and it cannot remove the avidya, ignorance. And then jnana, yoga, along with the tapa, celibacy, brahmacharya, they can also stop all the sinful actions. It can remove the pap karma. But still, that also cannot remove the sinful propensities, utam and avidya. So what is that process which will remove the utam and avidya also? So in scripture it is defined that only bhakti to Lord Krishna can uproot avidya, can uproot the kutam, the sinful propensities. Only bhakti can counteract the kutam and avidya. So in a pastime of Ajamila, in Srimad Bhagavatam 6th canto, when the description of Ajamila is described, how Ajamila was a very nice saintly brahmana, but ultimately because of watching some particular scene of a Shudra and Shudrani embracing in an awkward situation, he got these desire to enjoy in that way. So the kutam was there, but by coming in touch with that environment, that kutam result into the bijam, the desire to enjoy in that way. And how can one counter all the kutam and avidya? So in Bhagavatam it describes, Taisani aghani punyate puyante tapo dana vratadihi na adharmajam tad hridayam tad api eshanghani sevaya. So taisani aghani puyante tapo dana vratadihi. Although one may neutralize the reaction of sinful life, one may neutralize the reaction of all these sinful activity through tapoh dana vrata adi, by performing some austerities, by performing charities, by following the vows of some regulative principle. But these pious activities cannot uproot the material desires in one's heart. Na adharmajam tad hridayam. So they cannot uproot all the sinful desires and propensities in heart. So how that can be removed then? Tad api esha angri sevaya. If one serves the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is immediately freed from all such contamination. So that is the only way to remove this contamination, by engaging in service of the Supreme Lord. And what is that service to the Supreme Lord? The nine process of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Padasevanam. So all these different processes of devotional service as described, which is starting from Shravanam, hearing about the Supreme Lord. Then Kirtanam, chanting the holy name of the Lord. Smaranam, Vishnu Smaranam, remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Padasevanam, serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Archanam, Vandanam, offering the various ingredients to the Lord. Offering the prayers to the Lord, Vandanam. Offering everything to the Supreme Lord. So these are the various processes how one engages in the service of the Supreme Lord. And one, by the rare opportunity, gets that benediction. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's described, Brahmand Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Ji Guru Krishna Prasad Paye Bhakti Lata Bij. Everybody does not get that opportunity. This comes by mercy of Guru and Krishna. Brahmand Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Ji, very fortunate soul, because of the mercy of Guru and Krishna, he gets that Bhakti Lata Bij, the seed of devotion. Everybody is wandering in this material world, reaping the result of one's impious and pious activities. Both pious and impious activities are binding. And actually both impious and pious leads to anartha. It may be very surprising to hear. Actually, the result of pious and impious is both same in one sense. How is that same? Impious results into suffering and pious activity results into enjoyment. But ultimately both are binding within this material world. Even though somebody may be elevated to higher planetary system because of their pious activities, but still it is binding within this material world. Any activity which is keeping one from away from Krishna, that is equal to sinful activity only. So the result of both pious and impious is binding, and both lead to more and more anarthas in the heart. One of the anarthas is desires for material enjoyment. Kam, krodh, lobh, right? So lobh is more and more desires to enjoy. So pious activity also lead to that anartha. So Brahmand Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasad Paya Bhakti Lata Bij. Somebody has got that seed of devotion as a rare opportunity because of the mercy of Guru and Krishna. And one should now utilize that opportunity to further progress. So after getting the seed, we need to plant that seed in our heart and then cultivate that seed to to grow it further and further and further. So the seed is sown in the heart, and we have to make the land of our heart fertile for that seed to grow into a creeper, into a plant. And the plant keep growing and growing and growing until it takes shelter at the feet of the Supreme Lord, reaching in Goloka Vrindavan. But while that creeper of bhakti is growing, along with that, there may be many unwanted things also from which we have to protect this creeper. Just as if you set up a garden, some vegetable or flower garden in your outside your house, you plant some nice vegetables, nice flowers. Along with those flowers and vegetables, some weeds start to grow. And the weeds are also taking up the nutrients. They are taking up the water which is meant for those plants. So they are choking up the growth of the actual plants which you intentionally have grown. So to be able to protect those plants, one need to remove those weeds so that all the nutrients can be supplied to the actual plants. So one need to detect those weeds and then remove those weeds, uproot those weeds from the garden. And same way, when we are trying to make progress in devotional life, in our garden of bhakti creeper, all these various weeds start to grow. And what are these weeds? These are the weeds of unwanted habits which grow because of the offenses which are done while executed devotional service. So we have to be very cautious to understand what are these various offenses which one might commit, knowingly or unknowingly. So in the progress of bhakti, there are many stages, right? When somebody comes in the process of bhakti, because of little shraddha, because of that little desire to engage in bhakti, having some little flinching faith, it's called unsteady faith. Shraddha is considered as unsteady faith. The faith is in a shaky stage as yet. It has not matured. Right now, one day somebody has shraddha in one thing, next day his shraddha may be in something different. His shraddha from the first object has shaken, and now it has reposed his shraddha in something else. So our shraddha can change. So it's an unsteady faith. But with that unsteady faith also, one comes in this association of devotees. Adhau shraddha, tata sadhu sangha. So one starts to come in the association of devotees. And by coming in the association of devotees, one starts to practice bhajana kriya. Starting devotional practice. And because of that, what happens is anartha nivritti. So some of the anarthas in the heart, the sinful propensities in the heart, they are starting to go away. But still, this is unsteady devotional practice, still based on the unsteady faith, until one comes to the stage of nishtha. Nishtha is what is considered as steady faith. So from shraddha to sadhu sangha to bhajana kriya to anartha nivritti to nishtha. So unsteady devotion to steady devotion. In that process also, by practicing bhakti with unsteady faith also, one's sinful tendencies, the sinful reactions, the sinful desires are going away. That powerful the bhakti is. But if one is not careful in the practice of bhakti and one continue to make offenses in bhakti, then it will further complicate the situation. Even though the sinful tendencies are going away, but now the offenses have come up, which will lead to some unwanted habits. So what is the difference in sin and offense? And what is more serious? Is sin more serious or offense more serious? So we should understand that before coming to bhakti, we have the burden of sins and the burden of anarthas in our heart. But that burden of sin and anartha is getting removed by practice of devotional service. Even in the stage of unsteady faith, unsteady devotion. But if one is not careful in discharge of devotional service, then one is developing offenses, which results into unwanted habits. So from stage of nishtha to prema, that is the cleaning of the offenses and unwanted habits. If somebody has developed those unwanted habits, unwanted desires, so from nishtha to prema, those things need to be cleared. So we need to protect our bhakti creeper from these offenses. And what are these offenses? There are 10 offenses to the chanting of holy name. Then there are offenses to the Vaishnavas. There are offenses to the service of the Lord. There are offenses to all the jivas. So there are different type of offenses. If somebody is performing the offenses towards the deities, in the service of the deities, if somebody is performing the offenses to the holy dham, somebody is performing offenses to the other jivas, all that can be removed by chanting of holy name. But if somebody is performing offenses to the holy name itself, how will that be removed? We have discussed in much more detail these offenses to the holy name earlier. About 6-7 months back, we had a 2-session series on offenses to the holy name, which need to be avoided. So just to go briefly, what are these offenses? The first offense is to blaspheme the devotees of the Lord. Satama ninda. If one is performing devotional service but criticizing other devotees, that becomes a great offense to the holy name. Even though this is offense to the devotees, but the holy name take that offense very seriously. And it chokes up its mercy. It chokes up the taste from the practitioner's heart. And this offense is considered as a mad elephant offense. If we are growing nice garden, nice vegetables, and a mad elephant enters into that garden, what will mad elephant do? Will it try to water the plants, or it will try to uproot all those plants? Mad elephant will try to destroy the whole garden. The same way, this offense to the Vaishnavas, to criticize the Vaishnavas, to physically hurt the Vaishnavas, to dishonor the Vaishnavas, to not show respect to the Vaishnavas, these are all considered as satama ninda. And this is like a mad elephant offense, which can choke up our bhakti creeper. So one should be very much careful about that. Other offenses, to consider all other personalities, other devi devatas, to be equal to or independent of the Supreme Lord. To disrespect one's guru, one's spiritual master, to disobey his instructions, or to consider his spiritual master as an ordinary person, that is also an offense. His spiritual master is also a devotee. So in one sense, that is also a Vaishnava Prad also. And then to blaspheme the Vedic literature, all the Vedic scriptures, or the literatures in pursuance of Vedic version, that is an offense to the holy name. To give some mundane interpretation to the holy name, or to consider the glories of the holy name as an imagination, that is an offense to the holy name. And one of other biggest offenses, to commit sinful activities on strength of chanting the holy name. If somebody has heard the glories of holy name, that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, all the sinful reactions can be removed. Oh, this is a very nice proposal. So I can continue with my sinful activities, and I will chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and my reaction to sinful activities will be removed. So if one intentionally continue to commit sinful activity on the strength of chanting the holy name, it becomes the biggest offense to the holy name. This is like madness. And to instruct the faithless person about the glories of the holy name is also an offense. But one may say, oh, we are doing openly preaching programs, we may be chanting the holy name openly on the streets. Will it not become an offense? So just chanting the holy name, giving the holy name to the faithless person is not an offense. To glory, give the glories of the holy name to a faithless person. Because if the person does not have faith in the holy name, he has some enviousness towards the holy name or towards the Supreme Lord, and will try to glorify that same thing more and more in front of that person, his envy may increase and he may further go away from Krishna. So that's why one should not trying to keep glorifying or spreading the glories of the holy name if somebody is not willing to hear. By just hearing the holy name, slowly, slowly the purification will come and one will come to the right understanding. So we can still openly give the holy name to others. And then another offense to the chanting of holy name is, after hearing the glories of the holy name, if one continue in that same materialistic conception of life, oh, I am this body, everything belonging to this body is mine, aham amameti. If one continues with that conception of life, does not show attraction to the holy name, to the devotional process, that is also an offense to the holy name. And then another offense is to be inattentive while chanting the holy name. So we'll further discuss in more detail what is this inattentiveness mean and how is that an offense to the holy name. But the point to understand here is, by committing the offenses to the holy name, by committing the offenses while we are trying to practice devotional service, that may choke up our bhakti creeper. And that will lead to many weeds growing in that garden. So if we want to remove the weeds, first we have to understand what the weed is. We have to differentiate the weed from the actual plant. Otherwise, because of all these unwanted habits starting to grow in our heart, one may not understand why is that happening. One may see, since I started practicing bhakti, all these funny things are happening with me. I am feeling more lusty. I am feeling more greedy. I am feeling more anxious. So all these things are further increasing. Am I doing something wrong? Is it because of my practice of bhakti? So one may come up with all those crazy ideas and one may ultimately give up the process of bhakti itself. That is like uprooting the actual plant itself. Rather than uprooting the weeds, one may end up uprooting the plant of bhakti itself. So we have to identify what the weed is. So in the garden, when you are growing the plant, there are hundreds of types of weed which start to grow. If somebody has done the gardening, they will understand this point very clearly. So in the garden, you may have hundreds of different varieties of weed. And you have to really recognize what the weed is and uproot that weed. Once I was doing gardening and I was trying to clean up all these weeds from the garden. And my younger son was trying to help me in cleaning up that garden area. So I was removing some weeds in one area and he started to do in some different area. He said, Papa, see, I also removed some weed. And he was showing me. What did he do? He removed one of the actual plant actually. Not recognizing this is a plant which we planted. It's a particular vegetable. He actually uprooted that, thinking, oh, it's a weed. So we have to be careful in recognizing what is weed. So how do we recognize? What are these unwanted habits which start to grow? So as I said, the 10 offenses to the holy name, which will lead to all these unwanted habits to grow. We are removing the sinful activities, sinful tendencies, all the anarthas from the heart. But then we are further complicating the situation because of the offenses. And these offenses are more serious than sin in the practice of bhakti. And this is one of my favorite topic actually. What is the difference in sin and apradh? What is the difference in paap and apradh? Sin and offense. The effect of sin can be easily removed by practice of bhakti. So sin is considered as dhuli lep. Dhuli lep is like if you are working outside in the garden and you have some dust on your hands, that can be easily removed. Right? You just wash your hands and it is removed. So sin is like that. By practice of bhakti, the sins, the effect of sins can be easily removed. But offenses are like vajralep. It's like a marking on the stone. If you cut your finger while working in the garden, if you cut your finger with some thorn, now it will take some time to heal up. If it was just dust, then you just wash your hand and it's gone. But now while working on the garden, if you cut up your hand with something, if a big thorn has pierced into your hand, then you have to work some hard work to remove that thorn and that for that wound to be healed. So that is the outcome of aparadh. Aparadh is like a vajralep. Just consider if somebody take a iron rod, heats up that iron rod and put on your hand. So you get a big marking on the hand. And that marking will not go very easily. That is like the effect of aparadh, offense. So sin is considered as dhuli lep and offense is considered as vajralep. Another example to understand is, so in your house, on the wall, some dust settles. So if you just wipe up the wall with some cloth or some dusting equipment, so all that dust can be removed. But if while moving your furniture in the house, you hit that furniture on the wall and there became a big scar on the wall, big scratch on the wall. Now that cannot be easily fixed. So that is the difference in sin and aparadh. The outcome of sin can be easily removed by practice of bhakti. Bhakti is so powerful that it can remove all the sinful reaction up to the level of sinful tendencies and avidya. But while practicing bhakti, if one is not careful and continue to commit offenses, then the result of the offenses itself becomes very difficult to overcome. That's why from the stage of nishtha to prema, one is still struggling to clean up those unwanted habits, those tendencies which has come up because of offenses, the weeds which has grown because of the offenses. And all that start because of the offenses to the holy name, and especially the inattentiveness in the chanting of holy name, pramad, madness. Because if one is inattentive in chanting of holy name, that is madness. We have come to this understanding that holy name of the Lord is so powerful. That is the only way for self-realization in this Kali Yuga. Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Eva Kevalam. Kalauraste Naste Naste Gatiranyata. So in this Kali Yuga, there is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way than the chanting of the name of Hari, chanting of the name of Hari. But if understanding that, we are still not careful in chanting of holy name, we are inattentive while chanting of holy name, that is the root cause of all other offenses also. And what is that inattentiveness? And why inattentiveness is considered an offense? Because we think, even if somebody is chanting the holy name without focus, without any intention also, he gets the result. Yes, that is true. Unintentionally chanting the holy name, or just jokingly chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name as a musical performance, all that brings up some auspiciousness that helps in removing the sinful tendencies from the heart. But it cannot lead, if one continues with chanting the holy name inattentively, it cannot lead to the prema. And ultimately it can lead to all other offenses. And that's why inattentiveness is also considered an offense. And is considered as madness. It's like we are calling to the Lord. When we are chanting the holy name, we are calling to the Lord personally. And Lord has come. He is very attentive to our calling to Him. But after calling to Him, we are not paying any attention to Him. We are in a different world. You are chanting the holy name, but at the same time you are thinking of your some other sense enjoyment. I will do this after this obligation of chanting is done. I will enjoy in this way or that way. So that becomes an offense. The Lord has come because of our calling, and now we are paying attention to some other thing. It's like you have called your friend to your home, and once your friend has come, you are busy with some other things. You are busy watching TV, changing channels. You are just lying down on your bed, not giving proper attention to your friend. So how will that friend feel? He will say, why did you even invite me? Why I have come here? I have come here, I am sitting in front of you and you are not even paying attention to me. So that is how we chant the holy name, without any attention, without any focus on the holy name. So the inattentiveness is also of three varieties. And that inattentiveness, it's called Audacena. The one type of inattentiveness is Audacena. Udasinta means lack of enthusiasm, non-difference, indifference to the holy name. So one is chanting the holy name but completely indifferent to holy name. Bhagwan ke naam ka jap kar rahe hai par naam se kuch lena dena hi nahi hai. There is no enthusiasm. Actually there is attachment to so many other things. And while chanting also one is thinking about those things. And chanting the holy name just maybe as of an obligation or something, as if somebody has been forced to do that way. So that is one type of inattentiveness. Audacena. And to cure this Audacena, it is better that one chants in the association of devotees. When we chant in the association of devotees, by seeing other devotees, we also get that enthusiasm. That's why it's very important to chant in association of devotees. The second type of inattentiveness is jadya, laziness. One is chanting the holy name while sitting in a comfortable sofa, keeping his leg up high, in a complete laziness posture. Because our posture will determine our consciousness also. So chanting the holy name out of laziness, and sometimes just stops the chanting and goes to take some rest or thinking some other important activity. So that is also an offense to the holy name. And how one can overcome that, or how one can remove that inattentiveness or laziness situation? Again, the only remedy is to chant in the association of devotees who are not wasting time, and they are not spending time in some gossips, nonsense, material talks, who are spending the time in actually chanting the holy name. The third type of inattentiveness is vikshepa. Vikshepa is distraction. So one is chanting the holy name, but one is completely distracted by many other things. Like people have the habit of multitasking. So in one hand there is a bead bag with the mala. With one hand one is trying to check up the Facebook or WhatsApp messages, or trying to do some other task. So this multitasking, chanting is going on, but the mind is not there, attention is not there, attention is in some other things. So completely distraction. Or one is intentionally letting the mind wander on to various other thoughts of sense enjoyment. That is also a distraction, vikshepa. So we are calling out to Krishna, but we are not paying any attention to Him. So we should understand the mind cannot do two things at the same time. Even though you may train your body to do multitasking, but your mind is actually on one task only. So one cannot do multitasking while chanting. While chanting, you should focus on chanting. Yes, it is mind's nature that mind wanders to various thoughts. That is the nature of mind. But one is not intentionally trying to do multitasking. Intentionally trying to do multitasking while chanting, that becomes an offense. That is distraction. So what is the result of solving this problem of vikshepa? Again, chanting in association of devotees. And also there are other methods how one can cure that disease of inattentiveness. One is by following proper Vaishnava etiquette, proper Vaishnava dressing, having a proper posture of sitting while chanting the holy name, following the various festivals, Ekadashis, by chanting in front of Tulsi Devi, by doing the pradakshina of Tulsi Devi. All these are methods to cure this disease of inattentiveness. And one of the biggest method is chanting in association of devotees. So even these days we have a system of conference calling, where everybody joins in the conference call and chant together. Even though people are not sitting in front of you physically, but you are hearing other people's voice, you know other devotees are also chanting. So that itself gives you encouragement, enthusiasm to engage in the chanting of holy name. So the virtual association of devotees for chanting the holy name. So this inattentiveness is the root cause of all other offenses. Because of inattentiveness, one commits all other offenses. And among all these offenses, the most severe offenses are offenses to the Vaishnavas, offenses to the Guru, offenses to the holy name by committing sinful activities and at the same time chanting the holy name, thinking holy name will counteract, neutralize the sinful activity. So these are some of the hard hitters, the big offenses, which leads to many unwanted habits, which are like the weeds growing in the garden of our bhakti creeper. So what is the result of all these offenses? So now we are coming to the point of recognizing what these weeds are. Like in your garden, there are different type of weeds. There is a crabgrass, dandelion and other things. So you know these are the different weeds. These are the different names of the weeds. So what are some of these weeds which are growing because of these offenses? How I can know that these things are the result of my offenses? So there are many different things described in scripture which are as an indication to us that it is coming because of the offenses to the holy name. So these newly formed unwanted habits are generally result of our offenses to the holy name. So the offender sow this seed of unwanted habit, which will soon sprout as the weed of material desires. Now these weeds of material desires could be in the form of lust, greed, in the form of hankering for name and fame, hankering for adoration. So all these are the different weeds. So let's go in sequence. What are some of these weeds? So first type of weed is attachment to sinful activities. Even though one is chanting the holy name, one is trying to remove all these sinful propensities. But because of chanting the holy name with offenses, again, all those same old habits, the same old sinful tendencies may start to come back in the heart. Up to the stage of nishtha, this on-off thing is going on. One is trying to cure the sinful habits, sinful tendencies, again getting attracted to those. One should immediately know this is because of committing offenses while practicing devotional service. So the attachment to sinful activities. For example, if somebody has many lusty desires earlier in his heart, and by coming to the process of bhakti, now slowly, slowly those lusty desires are going away. But if one is committing offenses, after practicing few years also, one now again starts to feel the same old habits. One has tendency to again be attracted to watching some nonsense thing, some obscenes, having the desire to enjoy in that particular way. So all that coming of sinful tendencies is the result of offenses to the holy name. And then diplomatic behavior. One develops that diplomatic behavior, crookedness in the heart. So one's behavior, even in the devotee circle, becomes very diplomatic. In with one devotee, he is behaving in a one way. With another devotee, he goes and talks ill about 10 other people. So that is the diplomatic behavior. Sometimes one thinks, oh, I have to be diplomatic to run some project. I am the leader of this congregation, leader of this community, leader of this temple. So sometimes I have to be diplomatic to run this temple or this project. But actually that diplomatic behavior is not needed to run any project. That is the result of our offenses to the holy name, offenses to the Vaishnavas. In front of a devotee, he is glorifying him. Oh, you are so humble. You are so dedicated to your service. But in front of other devotees, he is severely criticizing that devotee. Oh, he is nonsense devotee. He does all offenses. He does not know anything. He does not have any knowledge. That is a diplomatic behavior. And what is the cause of that? Because of the offenses. And then making a show of devotional service. Having spiritual pride. Having the desire of mundane reputation or adoration, ultimately it leads to philosophical deviation also. So that is another type of weed because of the offenses to the holy name. Having spiritual pride. So what is spiritual pride? Spiritual pride is while practicing devotional life, while practicing spirituality, one gets a pride because of his spiritual activities itself. I have become so great. I know the scriptures in and out. I can quote any verse from by heart. I am a most melodious singer. I am the greatest preacher. So all those sort of things are spiritual pride. And having the desire of getting name and fame. Having the desire of adoration from other people. One does not need to hanker for this name and fame, for this adoration. If whatever name and fame you deserve, that will come by default. Whatever is in your quota, that will come. One does not need to over-endeavor for that. Sometimes people become so much pride because of their achievement. And they want to be at the top, right? Because of, we come from the material world, we have this tendency to be always ahead of everybody, number one. Somebody in his school time, college time was always topper. And after coming to spiritual life, they're carrying on with that concept. I want to be number one. I want to be on the top. I should be respected most. So that tendency, it leads to this desire of mundane reputation. And because of that, one is creating offenses to the holy name. And because of offenses, these tendencies are becoming more and more deeper. Like vajralep, right? It is a, what do you say, line on the stone, which is very difficult to remove. And it continues, even one comes to the stage of ruchi, asakti. Still these weeds are there, these unwanted habits continue on and one need to remove those to be come to be able to come to the level of bhava and prema. So one does not need to over endeavor, one does not need to put down others to keep him on the top. Whatever name and fame one deserves, it will come eventually. It is just like a bottle, if you have a bottle, which has a particular capacity. You can hold only that much in the bottle. More and more you try to put in, it will not contain in that bottle. So same way, everybody has a particular quota of how much name and fame, reputation they will get. It is determined from your birth itself. For example, in your school, while studying in the school, you may have noticed there is one student who does not study very hard also, still he gets very good grades. But the other student is working very hard, still he gets barely passing marks. One student becomes very famous because of his achievement in the school, even though he doesn't endeavor much. And other is struggling hard to just pass that grade. So whatever name and fame, it is already decided from one's birth as part of one's prarabdha. One does not need to over-endeavor for that. So in spiritual life also, we may see some devotees, they are so popular. They come in bhakti and they just progress like anything. They become so popular worldwide. And there is another devotee who is also sincerely doing lot of services and he is completely unknown to everybody. So one should not try to endeavor for just getting this name and fame. That desire for name and fame, adoration, one should consider this is just as a weed in the garden of our bhakti creeper. Will eventually choke up our bhakti. And ultimately one will go to the level of philosophical deviation. He will try to justify the philosophy in his own interest. The next type of weed is caste consciousness. Classifying the Vaishnavas as per their external looks. That is also a type of weed. So caste consciousness, what is that? For example, somebody comes in the process of bhakti and he is making progress, he wants to take initiation, diksha, but then he is having that mindset, I want to get diksha from one particular guru who was born in a Brahminical family. I don't want to accept diksha from anybody else. So that is like a caste consciousness, classifying the Vaishnavas as per their worth. Vaishnava as a sincere devotee, whatever their previous life may be before coming to bhakti, but somebody has come to the level of bhakti, he has developed all the saintly qualities, he has all the qualities of a bona fide guru. Anybody is eligible to become a guru. It does not matter what was one's birth, even though one may be born in a Shudra family also. He may be eligible to become a guru if he has developed all the genuine qualities. But if somebody is classifying the Vaishnavas as per their caste, as per their birth, that is also an offense. And that is also the result of the offenses. It's like a weed. Somebody may think, oh, I don't want to take initiation from that particular Guruji. He is younger in age from me. How can I take initiation from him? Somebody differentiating devotees because of their age, because of their external look. Somebody has more inclination to somebody who is a shaven head or an elderly gentleman. Those are all externals. There are so many great, great devotees who have accepted diksha from much younger devotee in age from them. Actually, at the time of Prabhupada, there was one devotee who had met Prabhupada once, who had the desire to take initiation from Prabhupada. But by the time he approached Prabhupada, Prabhupada was in his last days. So he could not get initiation from Prabhupada. And later on, he started considering, oh, now after Prabhupada, there is nobody else who is eligible to give me initiation. They are all younger than me in age. So he did not take initiation from anybody in his son. And he went outside and took initiation from somebody else. And later on he himself acknowledged this point, that I made a big mistake by not accepting anybody in the lineage of Prabhupada as my guru. Sometimes people get into this mindset of caste consciousness, classifying the Vaishnavas as per their birth or as per their externals. And these are all the result of offenses to the holy name, offenses to the Vaishnavas. So one should be very careful with this type of mentality. Immediately detect, this weed is growing in my heart. I need to uproot that weed. Another type of weed. Sometimes devotees, because they are of their offenses, these desires for material prosperity comes up. They want to develop their business on the name of devotees. They want to have business dealings with devotees. So somebody think, oh, this ISKCON movement, it's such a huge movement, so many devotee network worldwide. If I come in this movement, and after I become initiated, everybody will recognize me and I can have a bigger business with the devotees. Sometimes people will try to take diksha just solely for that purpose, or come in association of devotees solely for that purpose, so they can do their business with this bigger community. I know when I started in the process, I had a link with some other people who was part of some business organization. Like, there was a very widely known organization as Amway or Quickstar. So a lot of people actually will come in the circle of devotees thinking that, oh, this is a big network of people. If I become mixed up with this network of people, maybe I will have opportunity to showcase my business and make some clients. So that business dealing mentality with devotees, that is also a weed in the heart. Somebody is chanting the holy name only for the purpose of making some profit out of devotees. Sometimes people think, come to the temple and approach the temple management and say, oh, I have a shoe business. Can I put a shoe stall in the temple on some particular festivals? I will give 20% discount to the devotees. So one should understand, if you have a business and if devotees know you, they know you have a business, they can come to your store also and buy if they really want. So one does not need to develop this sort of business mentality here. And there are so many people who think, oh, I will go settle in Vrindavan. I will settle up in Mayapur. And from there, I will do a business. I will do a business of exporting the mridangas, exporting the harmoniums all around the world to the devotees. And devotees are also very, what do you call as, masoom hote hain. They think, oh, this is a devotee, there is a das at the end of the name, Goranga das or this das or that das. So he should be a very genuine person. And as soon as they see a business publicized by any person like this with that type of name, they think, oh, it should be genuine. Maybe I can put an order online and it will arrive at my home. Actually, I myself had that experience. So once there was a publicity from somebody in Mayapur, some Goranga Exports. He had some name. He published his business on Facebook and all, trying to contact all the devotees. We ship mridangas worldwide and it's a very cheap. We'll give you 2 mridangas in $100 and we'll ship it to your home. So ultimately, sometimes people just use these names to scam devotees also. They are mingling up with devotees. They are chanting the holy name. Only purpose is to do their business. And while chanting the holy name, they are committing offenses. And these offenses are further leading to the complications. These weeds are growing more and more and more and more. So one should be very careful to detect these weeds and uproot these weeds from the garden of our bhakti creeper, so the bhakti creeper can get proper nourishment and can grow. Otherwise it will choke up soon and one will eventually give up this process of bhakti, that, oh, I have been chanting the holy name for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, I am not seeing any change. There is no change happening in my heart, and ultimately one may go away from the process. So this process does not work for me. Maybe I have to find some other process. No, the process works. It works for everybody. But while watering the bhakti creeper, you are giving less water to bhakti creeper, more water to the weeds. That's why it is not working. That's why your bhakti creeper is getting choked up because of all these weeds. So we need to remove all these weeds from the heart. So Prabhupada says, all these newborn unwanted habits, these habits that arise from offenses committed while still on the stage of this unsteady devotion, are not so easily removed. So while we are still in the stage of unsteady devotion from Shraddha before coming to the stage of Nishtha, if we are committing the offenses, so all these outcome of offenses in the form of beads, unwanted habits, it's not very easy to remove. Though their effects are easily incurred and quickly stockpiled, but their eradication one by one requires diligent efforts over time. So even though bhakti surely frees devotee from the reaction of their past deeds, but the carelessness, inattentiveness in discharge of devotional service may cause more anarthas to build up. So as a result, new unwanted habits in the form of these weeds may discourage the devotees and choke up their devotional service. So what is the solution? So to eradicate these weeds, devotee must listen to their well-wishers who can pinpoint specifically these unwanted habits and distinguish them from the real creeper of devotion. अरे भैया भक्ति छोड़ के जाने की जरूरत नहीं है, तुम्हारी एक्चुअल प्रॉब्लम ये है कि तुमने साथ साथ कुछ फालतू का घास फूस बीड्स को उगा दिया है. सो दे कैन डिस्टिंग्विश फ्रॉम द रियल क्रीपर ऑफ डिवोशन. सो ऑल द न्यूफाइट डिवोटीज इन द प्रैक्टिस ऑफ भक्ति, दे शुड टेक दिस नेसेसरी स्टेप्स टू कट डाउन दिस अनवॉन्टेड वीड्स, अनवॉन्टेड क्रीपर्स. And some of the activities which help to cut down these weeds, to remove these weeds, are regulation in spiritual life. Getting up early in the morning, chanting the holy name in association of devotees, following a particular schedule, following strict Vaishnava conduct, Vaishnava etiquette, avoiding mundane movies and eating outside cooked by non-devotees. So one should try to avoid these things. So as in Nectar of Instruction, it states there are certain things which are favorable to bhakti, which one should do. And there are certain things which are unfavorable to bhakti, which need to be avoided. And what are these things, unfavorable things which need to be avoided? Janasangha, association of worldly minded people. Watching movies, gossip. Watching or eating outside which is not cooked by devotees. So all these things one should carefully execute. Exemplify these practical essential practices which can help in recognizing the weeds and help to uproot these weeds from our garden of bhakti creeper. And Prabhupada very clearly say that we need to have a proper training process to build up the immunity. Build up the immunity to not conduct these offenses and to be protected from all these offenses and unwanted habits. So we need training to develop immunity from Maya. So these days everybody is talking about immunity. We need to increase our immunity in this pandemic of COVID-19, everybody is thinking, oh, I need to develop immunity to fight against this virus. So same way in spiritual life also, we need to build up immunity to fight up against committing offenses, to fight up against these unwanted habits in the heart. And Prabhupada always stressed the need of quality and quantity. We need to increase both quality and quantity, but in the order of quality and quantity. In the order of quality and quantity, what comes first? Quality. So we need to focus more on quality, and at the same time, then we need to increase the quantity. And Prabhupada used to give the example of boil the milk. What does this boil the milk means? So Prabhupada says, now we have got so many students, we have got so many temples, but I am fearful that if we keep on expanding more and more, in that way we shall become weakened and gradually the whole thing will become lost. Just like milk, if you keep thinning the milk more and more, keep adding the water more and more to satisfy higher, bigger customer base. So you keep adding water, thinning it down more and more, but ultimately it will cease to become milk any longer. It will be no more milk. It will be just water. So same way, while we are expanding, while we are bringing more and more people, at the same time, we need to work on the quality. We need to work on the cultivation of those people properly. So quality and quantity. So Prabhupada said, boil the milk now. Boil the milk very vigorously. Make it thick and sweet. So that is the best process. So we need to focus on training the devotees also systematically, rather than just being number conscious. That, oh, there are 50 devotees now. There are 100 devotees now. There are 200 devotees now. It's not just a number game. We need to be conscious of bringing up quality people also, training them properly. And the training has to happen based on the books of Prabhupada, based on the tapes of Prabhupada, by discussing always, by instructing them in the right proposition. So in that way, one need to work on both quality and quantity. And quality takes more importance. Otherwise, if we are bringing in more and more people, but they are not cultivated properly, purpose is just, oh, person has come, now purpose is to get him take diksha, get increased higher and higher. First diksha is done, second diksha is done, but there is not enough training. Ultimately, it will spoil the whole purpose. The basic training is not there. So we need to boil the milk, make it thicker and thicker, thicker and sweet. That is Prabhupada's philosophy, Prabhupada's method. Boil the milk. So to uproot all these unnecessary things, unwanted desires, these contamination, offenses, we need training. We need to develop immunity system, make the immunity system stronger to fight against all these things. Like we put the fertilizer in the garden to make the plant stronger. So we need to put this fertilizer in our spiritual life. What is that fertilizer? Being in the association of sincere devotees, getting instructions from sincere devotees, and practicing the etiquettes of Vaishnava sincerely. So that is the fertilizer we need to keep adding on in our devotion life. Otherwise, devotion life becomes like a routine chore. Jaise hum kisi ko poochte hain, you ask somebody, how is life going? Are chal rahi hai. The same way when we ask somebody, how is sadhana going? The answer comes, sadhana chal rahi hai. So sadhana chalane ke liye nahi hai. Sadhana is to bring up some enthusiasm. We have to do sadhana with enthusiasm, with energy. It has to bring in the taste. But if it becomes as an obligation, oh, I have a obligation to do my 16 round today. I have an obligation to read one verse of Bhagavad Gita. I have an obligation to hear this lecture today. If we are doing it as an obligation, it's just like sadhana chal rahi hai. But there is no interest, there is no transformation happening in that way. So we have to bring in some energy, some enthusiasm. And that can happen only by staying in the association of sincere, enthusiastic devotees. So we have to train, develop our immunity system. We have to work on the quality as well as quantity. And then what are the other matters? Says, the unwanted habits which are caused by the offenses, which lead to spiritual pride, desire for mundane reputation, adoration. These keep lingering in the heart till the stage of bhava and prema. For example, when you wash the pots, if somebody has washed the pots in temple, in pot room, you may have definitely this experience. When you wash the pots, sometimes the pots are heavily soiled. So there is a lot of thick layer stuck at the bottom of the pot after the feast cooking. Now, when you wash these pots, lot of the major content which has stuck to the bottom, it can be removed with just washing with water. The major things has gone away with one wash. But then there is a lot of other greasy stuff stuck to the bottom. Then you add little soap and scrub it. So more things go away. But even that major things has gone away, still you see some markings of the grease lines are there. Some still things are stuck to the corners there. So you add more soap and take the scrubber and scrub it nicely. Then more things go away. So as from the pot, to remove all that from the greasy stuff from the bottom, it needs more and more and more scrubbing. So same way, to remove these unwanted habits, these desires from the heart, it needs continuous evaluation, continuous recognizing these things in the heart and keep working on these things to remove these tendencies from the heart. And one can question, actually, can Krishna's holy name not remove these offenses also? Krishna's holy name is so powerful, it can remove all the sinful desires from the heart, sinful tendencies. How can Krishna's holy name not remove the offenses from the heart? Yes, Krishna's name is powerful enough. It can remove the tendencies, these offenses also from the heart. But if somebody is continue to commit these, thinking that I have chanted the holy name and all these desires, these anarthas will be removed, and continue to perform those tendencies, that itself became an offense. And if somebody start thinking, oh, maybe there is another process which will be able to remove these anarthas, then one commits another offense, eighth offense, right, which is to consider any other ritualistic process equal to the chanting of holy name, which are mentioned in the scriptures as karma kanda activity. So one may end up committing that offense. So one has to be careful. Yes, holy name can counter all the offenses also. But one has to understand that one is intentionally continue to conduct these, perform these offenses. Krishna withdraw his mercy to correct the mistake of his devotee. The holy name has the potency to remove these anarthas, these offenses. But it's Krishna who has intentionally withdrawn his mercy to correct the devotee. He can reduce the severity also. Like parents, sometimes parents will give punishment to the children. If the children is making a mistake, parents try to tell him, don't do this mistake. And if the child continue to do that mistake, parent may say, now you are grounded. You cannot come out of your room for 6 days, or you cannot use your cell phone for 6 days. So you are grounded. So parents give that punishment. What is the purpose? Why parents has withdrawn their mercy on the child? To correct the child so that he does not continue to make that same mistake again. So same way, Krishna withdraw his mercy to correct the devotee from saving him from these offenses. And as a parent, when they see the child is genuinely repenting, he is trying to correct himself, then Krishna can again give his mercy. He can reduce the severity of the punishment. As a parent may say, okay, I had told you 6 days of grounding, but I know you are very sincerely repenting, you understand your mistake. So after 2 days, you will be relieved from this punishment. The same way, when Krishna sees that genuine desire for the devotee to correct themselves, they don't commit the same mistake again, Krishna gives his mercy and he can remove the effect of the offenses also. So Krishna intentionally withdraw his mercy to correct the devotees. And then he again opens up the channel of his mercy when the devotee really want to correct himself. This is just like Bhakti Devi. What is the role of Bhakti Devi? Bhakti Devi is the lenient mercy also, and Bhakti Devi is stern heart also. Bhakti Devi stops the mercy on a devotee who continue to make the mistake intentionally. First time if somebody unintentionally, unknowingly made the mistake, it is forgiven. Again, second time, if we continue to make mistake, now thinking that, okay, I will make this mistake, but I will do this to correct my mistake or to counter my mistake, then it becomes an offense, a continued offense. And then Bhakti Devi becomes stern hard. Krishna chokes up the mercy. For example, if one is engaging in deity worship, right? In deity worship, one need to follow some cleanliness standards. That one need to wash clean clothes. One has to, first one have to take bath and then put on clean clothes which has not been used before. But if one is in some particular situation where one did not have a clean chandar, so he was in such a situation, there was no clean chandar available and he has to go on the altar. So he took a chandar which was used before, it was not clean. So out of circumstances, one made that mistake, but one is knowing of his mistake and one repent for that, and there is a provision that, okay, if you made such mistake, one read a chapter of Bhagavad Gita and that mistake can be forgiven. So one time one made that mistake due to some circumstances, but next time, if we continue to perform same mistake, thinking that, chalo koi baat nahi, I will just do that, and later on I will recite one chapter of Bhagavad Gita, ho jayega, kya baat, badi baat hai. So if one intentionally continue to make that mistake again and again, that becomes a severe offense, and Bhakti Devi chokes up the mercy, it becomes stern hard. Krishna chokes up the mercy. So purposeful mistake in service actually leads to offenses against the holy name. So if somebody has committed all these offenses, all that weed has started to grow, what is the solution to that? To uproot all these weeds? The same mistake what one has done, if somebody has offended the Vaishnavas, if somebody has offended the holy name, if somebody had offended the scriptures, one need to rectify one's mistake. Committing these apradhas, one has to be mindful of that and immediately rectify that mistake. It's like a child. When a child is learning to walk, so child is as a very small baby, he is just initially lying on the bed, he cannot even move. Then the child grows a little bigger, he learns to take upside down turns, he gets on his belly, and then he starts to swim on the ground. That's how the child is making progress. And then slowly child learns to stand up while taking some support. And then he holds up onto the wall and starts standing. Then he holds on to some object and starts to slowly walk also. But while walking, the child always falls down. Right? It keeps falling down again and again. But after falling down, if the child thinks, oh, this is, I'm useless, I cannot walk anymore, or I cannot get up and walk, and it does the child give up like that, or it continue to get up and walk again, try to walk again? So same way, when we have making mistake in the progress, while we are making progress in bhakti, our stage is also like the child. In the very beginning stage, we are like a small baby who doesn't know anything. Then by taking the support of devotees, by taking the guidance from devotees, we start to make little progress in bhakti. This is like starting to walk with the support. But while making that slow progress in bhakti, we continue to make some mistakes. So we need to correct those mistakes. We keep falling down. We have taken 10 steps towards Krishna, but because of our offenses, we move back 9 steps, 9.5 steps. But if we continue to do that, then the progress in bhakti is very, very slow. And one feels choked. After 10 years, 20 years, I'm still at same stage. Same, all the anarthas are still there. All those unwanted habits are still there. But one need to recognize these problems, these mistakes, and correct those mistakes. So as a child, if it falls down again, take the support of the same ground. Right? Agar bachcha zameen pe girta hai, तो जमीन पर अपने हाथ लगाकर जमीन के सहारे से ही वापस उठता है. यूजिंग द सेम ग्राउंड एज अ सपोर्ट वन अगेन गेट्स अप. सो सेम वे वट एवर ऑफेंसेज वी हैव डन वी हैव टू टेक द सपोर्ट ऑफ द सेम ऑब्जेक्ट टू अगेन गेट अप. इफ समबडी हैज ऑफेंडेड द होली नेम टू क्योर द ऑफेंस टू द होली नेम इज टू कंटिन्यू टू चैंट द होली नेम. If one has offended the scriptures, one need to use the same scripture to cure that offense. So one need to glorify that same scripture. If somebody has offended one particular scripture, when if somebody has offended Bhagavad Gita, somebody has offended Bhagavatam or any other Vedic literature, so one need to rectify that by glorifying that scripture. Using the same object as support to cure the disease. Same way, if one has offended the Vaishnava, one need to ask for forgiveness from the same Vaishnavas. So there are three ways actually to remove this Vaishnava aparad, the particular Vaishnava aparad. One is to sincerely ask for forgiveness from the Vaishnava whom we have offended. So as in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said if one offended a Vaishnava, the only way to get free from the offense is to go back to that Vaishnava and beg for forgiveness. Just like a thorn, if we want to remove a thorn, we can take a thorn to remove the thorn. So same way, offense created by the mouth, it has to be rectified by the mouth by asking forgiveness. And the another example Radha Govind Maharaj gives is, if there is a thorn get on your foot, we cannot remove the thorn from the shoulder. If there is a thorn on the foot, you have to remove the thorn from the foot. So same way, if we have offended a particular Vaishnava, we have to ask forgiveness from the same Vaishnavas. One may have a very nice behavior with 100 Vaishnavas, but one has a bad behavior with one particular Vaishnavas. So one need to ask forgiveness from that particular Vaishnava only to cure for that offense. As we know from the story of Durvasa Muni and Ambarish Maharaj, Durvasa Muni had offended Ambarish Maharaj. And when Sudarshan Chakra of Lord Vishnu appeared there, Durvasa Muni was running everywhere to save his life. He went to Brahma, Lord Shiva. Ultimately he came to Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu said, I cannot protect you. Even I cannot save you. You have done offense to a Vaishnava. Only that Vaishnava can forgive you. If that Vaishnava forgive you, then your offense can be eradicated. So you go ask forgiveness from Ambarish Maharaj. So Durvasa Muni came back to Ambarish Maharaj and asked for forgiveness. And then the Sudarshan Chakra was pacified. And there is another instance from Chaitanya Charitamrita. We know so many wonderful stories, how the Vaishnava aparad is so severe. That's why it is called mad elephant offense. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, we hear about the pastime of Sachi Mata. Sachi Mata, in her mind, had offended Advaita Acharya. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took that offense very seriously. He says, you have committed a great offense to a Vaishnava and you need to ask for forgiveness. And Sachi Mata said, which Vaishnava, whom did I offend? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you had offended that great Vaishnava in your mind. When your elder son Vishwarupa, he took sannyas at a very early age, you were blaming it on Advaita Acharya. You thought Vishwarupa used to go to the house of Advaita Acharya. He used to hear Bhagavatam from him, because of which he got so much detachment from this worldly life. And he gave up his home and he took sannyas. So you were blaspheming Advaita Acharya in your mind. You were criticizing him, blaspheming him. And that because of that offense, your spiritual progress, your going back to the Godhead is not possible. You have to ask for forgiveness from Advaita Acharya. And Sachi Mata said, how will I ask forgiveness from Advaita Acharya? He gives so much regard to me, so much respect to me. Because I am your mother, he considered me as his mother. How will I go to him and ask for forgiveness? And if I forcibly want to fall on his feet, he will never allow it. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you have to ask for forgiveness. I have a plan. So when Advaita Acharya come to meet me, I will show him my form to him, and in ecstasy he will fall down to pay obeisances. At that time you come from the back and without him knowing you take the dust of his foot. In that way your offense to Advaita Acharya will be eradicated. So even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told his mother, you need to rectify your offense to the Vaishnava. Without rectifying that offense, it keep lingering even to the stage of bhava and prema. And there are so many other pastimes which point to this. There is a pastime of Haridas Thakur. There is a Brahmana with the name of Gopal Chakravarti. He used to be an accountant or a tax collector for Mazumdar family, the family of Raghunath Das Goswami. And when Haridas Thakur was in their village, these Mazumdars, the Hiranya Mazumdar and Govardhan Mazumdar, they arranged a program as an assembly of devotees. And in that assembly, Haridas Thakur is glorifying the holy name, that the holy name is so powerful, it can remove all the sinful reaction. And this Brahmana, who is as a worker for this Mazumdar family, Gopal Chakravarti, he started challenging Haridas Thakur. That how come holy name is so powerful that it can remove the offenses to the holy name? You are just making up things. You are not a genuine Vaishnava. He started criticizing Haridas Thakur. And he said, if this does not happen, I will cut off your nose. He challenged Haridas Thakur that if your words are not true, if the chanting of holy name does not result into the purification like this, I will cut off your nose. So he offended Haridas Thakur, challenging him and criticizing him. And Hiranya Mazumdar, Govardhan Mazumdar, they did not appreciate this challenging spirit of Gopal Chakravarti. They immediately removed him. They took that offense very seriously. Even though Haridas Thakur did not take that offense, he thought, oh, this is just an ignorant boy. Why to take offense? But the Mazumdar family, they took that offense very seriously and removed him from the service. And later on, three days later only, this Gopal Chakravarti, he got leprosy. And all he was very beautiful actually. He was a very handsome person with beautiful hands and face and nose. And his nose started to melt because of leprosy. All his fingers start to deform. And his form was transformed into ugly form. And all the people were very surprised to see that. So why is that happening? That is the result of these offenses. These offenses come in many different forms as an outcome. It could lead to some disease. It could lead to faithlessness. It could lead to a quarrelsome nature. Ultimately, it leads to the fall down of the devotee completely from the process. That's why all these offenses need to be removed in our practice of devotional service. These offenses lead to these unwanted weeds growing. These offenses are like the unwanted weeds growing in our Bhakti Lata garden. So we need to very carefully protect against these offenses and remove these offenses. So one should take shelter of sincere devotees, take guidance from them to recognize these outcome of offenses, practice Vaishnava etiquette, be mindful of these offenses and always maintain a genuine humility in the heart to make progress. My purpose of performing devotional service is to attain love of God. My purpose of attaining devotional service is not to get some temporary name and fame. What is this name and fame in comparison to the love of God? So why should I get distracted from all these things? So one should recognize these and protect against all these unwanted weeds growing. And taking shelter of the holy name itself with a deep prayerful mood can help us to protect against these offenses. When we sit for chanting the holy name, we should pray to the holy name. We should pray to Nam Prabhu, please protect me from any offenses towards your, at your lotus feet. Please help me so that I don't commit any offenses. Please safeguard me from fall down. And in that humility, with that humility, one should chant the holy name. More and more when we chant, more and more we develop this state of humility, all these offenses will also be eradicated, along with all other sinful tendencies and anarthas from the heart. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So thank you very much. Let's all resolve to protect ourselves from these offenses and make steady progress in devotional service, which is the only aim of this human form of life. Srila Prabhupada ki ja, Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vrinda ki ja. Srila Prabhupada ki ja. So thank you very much. If anybody has any questions, comments, please forgive me if I spoke anything wrong or if I spoke something too strong. The purpose is for all of us to continue to make progress in spiritual life, to take deeper shelter of holy name, deeper shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Any questions, comments?
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Prabhu, my question is, how do we know at what stage we are at in Bhakti Yada, Shraddha, Ruchi, Nishtha? How do we know?
So how do we know at what stage we are? As we say, there are progressive stages in bhakti from Shraddha to Prema. At what stage we are? So first of all, these stages are not as a one stage after another. Actually, these are all overlapping stages. So this Anartha Nivritti keep going on till the end also, as I said. And we know where we are from the symptoms. If we are developing more and more faith, if we are developing any attraction to the holy name, if we are developing attraction to the hearing and reading, if we are developing attraction for engaging in practical devotional service. So, where we are is determined by our outcome of executing the devotional service itself. And only the guru will ultimately guide you that at what stage you are. Are you developing any ruchi or still you are having a lot of unwanted things in your heart? So guru can easily identify and guide us where we are and how further we need to make progress. We ourselves should consider always ourselves as neophyte devotees. We should think, I am still very neophyte devotees. I have not even developed a steady faith in the process yet. So we should continue with that stage of humility. We should not start thinking, oh, now I have developed prema. Nobody can take that prema, that ruchi from my heart. I have developed that ecstatic bhava. We should always consider ourselves most fallen, that is the quality of a devotee. He still continue to consider himself as the most fallen, most wretched person, full with all the unwanted things, unwanted anarthas in the heart. Even the great, great devotees, Narottam Das Thakur, Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur, they compiled so many wonderful songs where they are saying, oh, I am the most fallen person. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he says, oh, I am a most fallen, most wretched person. I have so many anarthas, so many unwanted desires in my heart. So we should always consider ourselves most fallen, that I am still in the beginning stage of bhakti.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Any other question or comment?
Kaman Prabhu comment on the Facebook. As awesome class Prabhu. There are so many offenses. Thank you for the class. I have some.
Yes.
So you give one quotation from Bhagavatam regarding the tapa, dana, and which?
That is 6th canto, 2nd chapter, verse number 17, I believe. The verse you are talking about, where I said the yajna dana tapa, they can remove the reaction of all the sinful activity and even the sinful activity itself, papa. Yeah. But they cannot remove the sinful tendencies. Right? Only taking shelter or serving the lotus feet of Lord can remove all these sinful tendencies and avidya. That is the one you are referring, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that is 6, yeah. Canto 6, chapter 2, text 17, I believe. 17 or
19? Yes, thank you. It was very nice class and a lot of information to go through.
I'm speaking for myself. So we all need to be very cautious of these things to make progress in bhakti. Yeah. We should not think I'm speaking for somebody. We should always think that this is I'm speaking for my own benefit. More and more we always feel that way. Mm-hmm. Then we can have our own steady progress. Even coming in bhakti, giving these classes, if somebody start feeling, oh, I'm speaking for the benefit of others, that itself may lead to spiritual pride. One should always feel I'm speaking for my own benefit. I am doing this service for my own benefit, to stay connected in the process so that I don't get distracted to other mundane activities. So it's always for our own benefit. Okay, so if no other question or comment, we'll end it here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Dhanva Pranam.